Good evening. How's everyone doing? I'm glad to see you still here this week. I'm glad that you came back to hear the word. Wow. That worship was awesome, wasn't it? You guys can talk back, right? I'm just wondering. For those that don't know me, I'm Dr. Glenn Collins. Yes, I'm a real doctor, believe it or not. May not look like it, right? But hey, we come in all flavors and all sorts and so on and so forth. I'm not the person to stand behind this thing too long. I like moving my hands. I'm kind of expressive in ways. I may get loud at times, and there are times I may just be monotone. If you fall asleep on me, I may come and just sit in your lap. And if you don't say amen, I'm going to stay there like teachers do in school. And they say, one plus one is two. What is it?
Two.
Exactly. It's those types of things. For those that were not here last week, Brian introduced myself and my lovely wife in the back, Trinice. Trinice, stand. Hey, as executive pastors and part of the leadership team here at The Refuge. I don't have much time, so I'm going to get right into it. Is that okay? We have a long time to get to know each other. I'm not going anywhere, and prayerfully, you ain't either. There will be times when I will use correct English, correct grammar. Teachers, I'm sorry. There will be times when I'm going to say fixing. I'm going to say things that may not conjugate properly. I may say things like it's popping in here. I may say things like it's cracking in here. I'm going to say certain things and do certain things as the Holy Spirit gives me the liberty to flow. Is that all right? Come on, is that all right? Say flow. Come on, say flow. Tonight I'm going to talk about a topic called gifted. I know last week Brian made a comment and said that I was going to speak about messy church or doing life together is messy. But when you start spending time in the presence of God, how many of us here spend time in the presence of God? Now we talk to God and then God talks back to us. And then God gives us direction and instruction as to what we should do. And as I was on my 5-mile walk this week, God said, no, son, no. Save that message for another day. So I said, yes, sir. And I said, well, Father, what am I going to teach on? And he said, you're going to teach on Proverbs 18 and verse 16. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Proverbs 18, or your iPad, or your iPhone, or your Samsung device, whatever it may be. And we're going to get into this word. Is that all right? Yeah. Proverbs 18 and 16 simply says this: a man's or woman's gift makes room for them and brings them, him or her, before great men. The King James says a man's gift makes room for him and bringeth him before great men. And the thing that we often don't look at is when dealing with this passage of Scripture, there are a few things. The first thing is simply this: what is your gift? By a show of hands in here tonight, how many of us in here know what our gifting is? The area in which we're gifted. Amen. Not too bad. But here's the deal. If you're a basketball player like Dwayne, then God may use you in that gifted area to reach individuals that you may not have been able to reach otherwise. One of my other jobs, if you will, I'm also a professional tennis coach. So I get to go places and do things that some of you may not be able to do. But I'm able to reach people where they are, build a bridge between me, them, and the Father, where they see Him operating within me, and then they begin to wonder, how can I get what you got? That's gifting. Teachers in here, God uses you to reach individuals in ways and in areas that others couldn't do. I'm also a retired military guy. Yeah, right? Whew, Brian said it last week. I've had a lot of different jobs. But that's a calling within itself that God places you within to say, you know what? You're gifted to do this. Here's the interesting thing. It's about my gift, not Tanya's gift. I may be gifted to do things in one capacity, but she is definitely gifted in other areas. Right? Can you talk back to me? Am I getting feedback back there? Remember this. Brian and I, we are extreme opposites. Right? I like to get up in your business, and I like to do things and say things, and I want feedback. Because here's the thing. A lot of times we come into the house of God, and we hear a message, good, bad, or otherwise, and we don't say anything while we're there, but when we leave, we have 1,000 things to say. This is a place where we can come and begin to build up each other in the most holiness of faith. Am I talking to somebody? Because before service, Robert Wanick and I, we had a conversation. He began to talk about Mike Curtis's son losing his black stripe to become the third-string quarterback for Old State. Right? Roll Tide? What? A Florida State fan? Security! But here's my point. Things that we get excited about and passionate about are the things that we yell about. But when we come in here sometimes, it's like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Or it's like, my point is, when you're passionate about something, when you're gifted in an area, it's nothing you will not do to make things happen in that area of your life. Does that make sense? Here's the point. When I was active duty and I was an enlisted guy first, I wanted to be an officer. Why? They made more money. I'm keeping it real. It's about dollars and cents. You know, $10 go further than... 10 goes further than?
$1.
That's right. You guys picked the best seat in the house. Next time, you're going to be like, if he's speaking again, we're sitting in the back. And then guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to come to the back, baby. I'm going to come to the back. But I was determined to do something based upon the long-term effects of it. And when it comes to now, get this. I wasn't gifted to go to school. In fact, like some of you in here who started school this week, you hate school. And me, I started 2 below algebra. I know it's bad. Help, Lord, help, Lord. But He did. Because I went from 2 below algebra to calculus 3. Yeah. You know why? Because I was gifted. And I serve a big God. Is there anybody else in here that serves a big God? Are you sure? Come on. Are you sure? Are you sure you serve a big God? No, y'all not sure. There was a commercial back in the day for those that grew up in the 80s, and it spoke about whether you were sure or unsure. It's a lot of unsure in the house tonight. Okay. When it comes to your gifting, you know, your gift shall make room for you. When it comes to that, have you figured out how to use your gift in the local body that you're attached to? Have you figured out how to use that gifting as it relates to your family? Have you figured out how to use that gifting as it relates to you? Think about these things. A lot of times we're searching for things, but not really know what we're searching for. But the gift of God lies on the inside of you, and because it lies on the inside of you, God is trying to bring things out of you. Things that only you can do to reach an incredible people. You know, I share with my wife this. As a tennis pro, I interact with a lot of worldly people. And the Holy Spirit shared this with me one day. He says, son, you guys being Christians, are not doing your job. Well, what do you mean we're not doing our jobs? He said, there are so many people out here that need the gift that you have, but you're not willing to allow your light to shine. And when your light don't shine, those that need to see it can't see it. We need to be loud in some instances. We need to be boisterous in some instances. I'm sorry. We need to be calm, cool, and collected. We need to have couth. We need to act well in certain places. We must dot our I's and cross our T's and make sure we eat our P's and everyone's happy. Right? Right? No. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. And it's time for us to use our gifting the way that God has designed for us to use our gifting. Your gift, say my gift. My gift. Come on. My gift will make room for me. Come on. Do you believe that your gift will make room for you? Wow. Thank you for that one yes in the back, sweetie. I appreciate that one yes. If you don't believe it, who else will believe it? If you don't have confidence in your gifting, then who will? If you don't believe in you, and can I tell you something tonight? Although I just met many of you about 3.5 months ago, I believe in you. You know why I believe in you? Because you're here, because you love Jesus, and because you want to make a change, not just in your life, but in the life of those around you. Am I talking to anybody? Am I making sense back there? We have to get to a place where we recognize that, you know what? There are things that I must do because my gifting will make room for me. Why do I say that? Well, how can I say that? Everywhere my wife and I have gone, the blessing of God has been upon our lives. Scripture says, the blessing of the Lord maketh one rich and addeth no sorrow. So as we operate in the things of God, they're saying, wow, God's hand is upon your life. Well, what do you mean by God's hand is upon my life? You know, Christian idiom, God's hand is upon your life. It's like, God's hand is upon your life. You are anointed, you are blessed, and you are highly favored. No, what they're saying is that there is something within us that they don't see within others. We are willing to take a chance on God. And when you're willing to take a chance on God, God is more than willing to take a chance on you. When we were in California, which was our last job, or one before that one, at Beale Air Force Base in Sacramento, north of Sacramento, we actually launched a church there called the House of Refuge. Imagine that. The church was going well. I met this one gentleman named Richard Braxton, and he said, man, you remind me of my pastor. You should come and meet my pastor. I had no earthly idea who his pastor was. Go to his church, meet his pastor. The church seats 25,000 people. That's a little small church, First thing he says to me is, son, who's your covering? You know, in other words, do you know what your gifting is and who's keeping you in check? I tell him who it is. He said, you know what? I want you to be a part of this. I didn't know who he was. He had people there 10, 15 years that he was not willing to promote. But we come there, and he sees something on the inside of us, and he pushes us forward. Hawaii, when we were there, same thing. You guys are blessed of God. Can you please come and help us plant this church? Sure. It's a God thing. Because we realize that in our gifts making a room for us, it's not about us. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about the kingdom of
God.
You're going to get there. You're going to get there. Let me ask you a question. Are you afraid to use your gift? Because I know some of us work in a secular environment. Who said no? You go, girl. I'm sorry. Hey. I realize that some of us work in a secular environment, and there are certain things you can and cannot do, can and cannot say. But can I tell you something? Your light should always be shining, baby. They may tell you you can't say Jesus, but you know what? That smile on your face, that million-dollar smile says Jesus 24/7, 365 and one quarter day. Am I right? Your life of integrity says the same thing, right? How you do your job says the same thing. Being on time says the same thing. Giving more than what's asked of you says the
same thing.
Hey. And one of my favorites is this one. Don't allow someone else. Can I say pimp in here? You know what pimp means? I'm sorry. Don't allow someone to misappropriate your gift. Is that better? Is that better? You know, I forgot where I was. I keep forgetting this. It's in a black church. I got it. I got it. I had to throw it out there sooner or later. You know it's going to come. Sooner or later. If I can't say it, you can't say it either. Now that I said it, you still can't say it. But when it comes to your gifting, don't allow people in the church, people in the world to misappropriate, that's a big word, your gift. I've seen time and time again when an individual is gifted in an area, they are misused and then they are abused because of their gifting. One of the big areas I've seen it in is music. I have a good friend of mine, he is a phenomenal worship leader, out of this world. But the church has abused this guy so much that at one point he was willing to leave the church because of misappropriation. Is that better, Tanya? Is that good?
Okay.
I'm just checking. And then your gift will bring, say bring.
Bring.
Will bring you before great men. A few weeks ago, LeBron James. You know, I know there's some LeBron James fans, and then there's some LeBron James haters. You know what haters are, right? People that don't like somebody for a good reason, sometimes a bad reason. You know, when you know, we say hating on them. Now, this is street talk 101, slang 101, urban 101, okay? So he opens a school in his hometown, and the pressures of the world are there. Anytime your gifting is expanding your territories and enlarging your borders, there will be criticisms. Things are not just going to happen easily for you. You have to be willing to ride the bus when it's convenient and ride it when it's not convenient. Not everybody can roll up to SFCA in a Lexus. Somebody dropped off on a school on a bus and they walk on in. But here's the deal. When it comes to these experiences, you must be prepared when these opportunities arise. There is no way LeBron James could have opened his school without being prepared. And there is no way that certain business owners or whatever craft you have can be perfected unless you spend time in it. My son's a musician. And he has this saying that they use, it takes 10,000 hours, I believe he said, before you master a craft. Can I ask you a question? How many of us in here have spent 10,000 hours perfecting our craft? That's a lot of time, isn't it? 10,000 hours, right? It takes a lot. It's like this. When I'm on a tennis course, and I'm telling a kid or an adult to hit a forehand a certain way, this is called ready position. Say ready position. Okay, then I tell them forehand, and they do this, okay? Hand goes back, left hand goes out. It does not say follow through, and then they do that. Okay? What I'm doing is I'm teaching them technically how to hit a ball correctly. Now, it takes 10,000 hours to hit that ball correctly at the same time. Not all of them are going to do that. And can I tell you something? Not everyone in here is going to spend 10,000 hours doing things the right way. Now, get this. If there's a right way, that implies there's also a... You got it. Doing things right is not easy, but it's necessary. Because the moment you take a shortcut, everyone sees it. And then your integrity comes to play as to whether you are using your gift for God or using your gift for yourself. And there is a difference. Yeah, I know, right? A few years ago, I didn't have to wear these things. You know, this is the devil. I'm telling you. No, it's not really. Really, this is really a blessing. The blessings of the Lord maketh one rich and addeth no sorrow. Because I realize that when I do this, I can see this piece of paper. When I do that, I have to do this. I'm keeping it real, okay? So, when it comes to your gift, Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it comes the issues of life. Guard your gift. Cherish your gifting. Make sure you know that this is something that God has given me. And because I know God has given me this, I'm going to hold on to this like my life depends upon it. Because really, it does. You don't know when that moment will come when God will place you in front of that right person to give you just what you need. I'm always prepared to do what God wants me to do. Why? Because I believe in overstudying, being overprepared and underprepared, understudy. I can't give God just enough. I have to give God more than enough. Because when I give God more than enough, the fruits speak for themselves in our lives. You know, when I was growing up, about your age, about some years ago, there was a saying, he or she that prayed little, got little. He or she that prayed much, got much. And I'm a firm believer that God, if you put air and oxygen and lungs within my and breath within my body, it's my job, it's my obligation to use my gifting for the kingdom of God. I believe God has established me on this earth to be a bridge, whereby it's like the church we left in California to go to Hawaii. As I was transitioning out, the senior pastor didn't want us to go. And his son definitely didn't want us to go because now he was going to take over. And I explained it like this. I said, Dad, I know you're not a male, but I said, Dad, it's time for us to go. Okay? But I said, bro, it's time for you to step up. God used me as a piece of cotton, hold your hand, as a piece of conduit to make that connection where they could both flow through me by the power of God to get what they needed from each other. And there are times, even in the natural realm, God does the same thing. He connects me with people who need someone else. And it's my job to say, you know what? It ain't about me. It's about God. I'm gifted to do this. I'm anointed to do this. And because I'm anointed to do this, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to do it. When you misuse your gift or neglect your gift, abuse is inevitable. You read about these athletes, these entertainers who go out and do all this stuff and to the world and even to us sometimes, they got it going on. They're living in the best places. They're doing this and that. And we think that that's life. But I can tell you firsthand, it's not life. It's not life when you're concerned about something that someone can come and take away from you. That's not living. That's existing. But the gift of God is on the inside of us to live. Am I making sense to anyone? And God wants us to I like you. I like you a lot. And God wants us to use our gifting to grow the kingdom, to grow ourselves, to grow our local churches. It's about others as well as ourselves. Here's the deal. When I protect my gift, blessings abound. When I neglect my gift, I get complacent. I don't do things the right way. Then you know what happens? Bad things start happening. Now I'm not getting deep philosophical, theological, and all that kind of stuff. I'm going to give you a natural example. As I said, I'm a tennis coach. There was this one professional tennis player. He's in the top 15 in the world. He said, "Why is it that Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal, 36 and 37 respectively, why they keep winning? Why can't they let us young guys win?" Can I tell you why? Because they protect their gift. They do whatever they need to do to stay on top of their game. And my challenge to you tonight is to do whatever you must do to stay on top of your game. Because Scripture said that we have an adversary who's like a roaring lion going out to seeking to devour whom he may. Which means that when you're not on your job, he's always on his job. And we must be about our Father's business, do we not? Can I give you a couple life applications? I take it as a yes. You know, the old saying is, silence is consent. So if you don't say anything, I'm going to give it to you. But you already know, even if you would have said something, I'm still going to dish it out, baby. Still going to dish it out. For those who are taking notes, God does not call you to use your gifting when it's convenient. God don't call you when it's convenient. God calls you when you're chilling. When you're sitting on the beach relaxing, when you're out there trying to fish in roll tide. Because when God calls you, he's going to call you when it's the most unlikeliest of times. Has anyone in here ever had a family member call and ask for money? Is it ever convenient? I don't know about you, but no, not for me. So here's the deal. I'm chilling. I'm relaxing. I'm enjoying my Christian sabbatical, if you will, you know. And last year, God gives me this challenge. He says, "Son," I said, "Yes, Father." He said, "I need for you to finish your doctorate this year." I'm like, "Why?" He says this: if you don't finish your doctorate, then the person that you would have become, not going to happen. I.e., it will affect your legacy. I said, "Oh, okay then." You guys know what I did last year? I finished my doctorate, and I finished it quick, fast, and in a hurry. It's not to say I didn't have issues along the way, because I did. My chair, she had cancer. Her husband, at the very last leg of my dissertation, abruptly died. I said, "God, this ain't fair." He didn't say it would be fair. He said, "Finish." But she came back to the fight, and she says, "Let's get it done." Don't you know that when God is on your side and God gives you instruction or direction to do something, he already knows what's going to happen? But we're trying to figure it out. Why are we trying to figure it out? It doesn't make sense to figure it out. Let God be God and you be you. You float in your gifting, and as you float in your gifting, then you look back and you be like, "Wow, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be?" I tell you what, when God speaks to your heart, and when God began to speak to you so emphatically, you're like, "God, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Whatever you say." But it wasn't comfortable. This past year, I resigned from coaching tennis at SSCA. Hey, Rob. And when I was leaving out to be done, Coach Marciano said, "Stay." I said, "I can't do that." He said, "Why?" I said, "Because there's a shifting taking place within my gifting. God is lining up something, and I have to be prepared for this thing when it manifests itself." I said, here's what I believe. I believe that there are those individuals, Christian-wise, whom God has said, use your gift somewhere else, and they stayed where they were, and things happened in their lives because they refused to move as God moved. I said, no. I've been in this game a little bit too long to know better than to stay here when God says move. So we transitioned onward, and then I got connected to Brian. I was like, whoa, it happened so fast, it just had my head rattling. I was praying about it, and I said, God, I'm very relational. And because I'm very relational, I don't take advantage of relationships. So some people said, you should talk to Brian. Can we give him your information? This was in the middle of the week. I said, sure. I'm on the treadmill 2 days afterwards, and I get a text from a Brian Culberson saying, hey, can we get together? That wasn't convenient for me. I'm enjoying me right now. Can anybody relate to that? I'm like, God, you're messing up a good thing, man. Dang. You know, let me be. But one side of me knew transition within my gifting was taking place. So we started discussing working here, working at, you know, coming to the refuge and supporting the refuge. And I hem and hawed and hawed and hem. You know, when you don't want to do something, let me pray about it. Let me see if it's the will of the Lord. I already knew. How did I know? Because God said this. He says, so what are you going to do? Are you going to sit there and say you're going to pray to me, or are you just going to go help the man? That's how I felt too. I was like, are you serious? So when God calls you, it's never convenient. When he calls you, don't allow your preconceived notions to get in the way. My pastor had a dog named Rex. He got Rex when he was a young pup. And my pastor, he was an avid hunter, fisherman. You know, you go to his church, in his house, you think you're at Bass Pro. You got all this stuff going up along the top of the walls, and you stepping on bears and all this stuff. So he gets this dog named Rex. And he's training Rex. I can't mess with you anymore. And he's training Rex. And he's training Rex. And he's loving on Rex. And you have a dog, don't you?
Yeah.
You have two big dogs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
You do all this stuff for your dogs. But what do they do for you? Exactly, nothing. So he's feeding Rex and preparing. Are there any hunters in here? Any hunters? Anybody that hunt in here? Hunt? Come on. Come on now. Look around. I know some hunters in here. Don't get me pointing at people. You hunter? Did I just ask? Wow. It's like that. I thought we was building a relationship here. Yeah, watch your back, man. You know, they come in different ways, different flavors these days. So he's raising this dog and you know, expensive food, getting him trained and all this kind of stuff. Loving on this dog, you know what I'm saying? Dogs are expensive. I got two dogs. One bag of dog food, $70. Before the coupon, you know. I'm a thrift saver. Google is your friend, right? So he takes the dog out for the first time. The dog hears the gun go off. The dog takes off the other direction. He's hollering, Rex! Rex! What went wrong? You know what went wrong? He didn't prepare the dog to deal with gunshot fire. He trained him to be a good dog. You know, you're a good one, Rex. You know, Rex, I'm liking you, Rex. You do the right size and you the right muscular build and all of this stuff. But when Rex heard that gun, Rex did what some of us in this room gonna do. We're gonna hightail it out of here. Because when, as in the military, we used to say this: when gunfire take off, bullets ain't got no name on them. Anybody ever heard that saying before? I'm sorry, bullets don't have a name on them. Girl, you from St. Louis? You know you heard gunfire before. I told you I messed with everybody. Okay? So don't allow what you think is going to happen to get in the way of what God needs to happen. Does that make sense? Be committed to be the best you that you can be. Perfect your craft. The last thing I'm going to leave you with is ask for help from a mentor. If you don't know how to use your gifting, you know, you guys, man, y'all on fire. You know, you know what fire means, right? You know, you sounded really well. Okay. These are the kind of individuals that when it comes to leading worship, you want to be around you. Because they can teach you something. And you want to be taught by those who've been there, done that, and have that experience. We were talking last week, and he was telling me about the individual that it was the director of bands in the Hampton Roads area. Something like that. Just nod and say, yeah, you got it. Make me look good. I got you later. I got you later. Okay? This is a, what is this? It's a spoon. I see you squinting. I see it. Fork. When there's a spoon and there's a fork, there's also a shotgun. There's also a knife. Yes, my bag of tricks. Tanya, can you help me out? I'm going into chef mode right here. Can you like button me up in the back? Make sure I still sound and look good. See, I came prepared. I've been cooking already. I don't know what this is, but it looked like I've been doing something though, right? Go Knights. Wait, hey, that's my alma mater. I gotta say Go Knights. We know we're the undisputed national champs last year, 13-0. Yes. Oh, I can say this. Both of my teams won last year, Bama and the Knights. Now, you guys see a spoon, or you see a fork, and you see a... Don't make me use this. All right, you see a knife. Now, the knife. Yes, there is a knife in here. I know, sweetie, it's a sharp knife. And you saying, be careful. I'm reading your lips from up here. I got you. I can't see where this thing go. Maybe I should put my glasses on. Somebody said, oh, Jesus. Okay, here's the deal. Now, the knife. You know, you can tell I don't cook that often, right? But a knife is used to do what? To cut. Right? In the context of my illustration is, knives can be used to not just cut food, but also people. Sometimes we have dreams and you get around the wrong person and their words become like a, they cut that dream right out of you. For those that eat steak, you know, some steak has a lot of fat on it. You know, I don't like that fat stuff. My wife, she's doing keto diet right now, so she wants all the fat she can get. Give me all the meat that I can get. But you take your knife and you trim all that fat away. And what happens sometimes is God gives you desire and God gives you gifting and God begins to enlighten your heart and the wrong person comes around you and they start to whittle away the thing that God has placed on the inside of you. You have to get yourself separated from that knife. Because it cuts both ways. It cuts going in. It also cuts coming out. Okay? The fork. What is the fork used for? Hold up. What do you use a fork for?
To hold stuff.
Stop whispering in her ear. It's used to hold stuff, right? is also used to. Here, come on, why are you flinching?
Because you have a fork.
See, I know you're not from the hood. You got to stay there. It's like, this fool going to stab me. No, I got you. But the fork is very elusive. The fork is this individual that on one hand, they're here to help you, okay? You know, spaghetti, you know, you get in that spaghetti and you wrap that fork around there. Am I making you hungry? I came in hungry, so, you know, then you reach down there and get you a nice helping of spaghetti, right? But at the same time, there are times when spaghetti don't want to cooperate and it falls off your fork and you have to go back in there and get it again. That's how people are sometimes. On one side, they want to help you out, but then on the other side, when it comes to your gifting, they're jealous. And because they're jealous, they're plotting. You know, they're trying to find ways to pick at you, to poke at you, to jab at you, to say, did God really say that? Or are you imagining things? Nah, 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 nah. I know God didn't tell you that. Can I get an amen in here? Can I share something with you? I've been a part of all churches. White churches, black churches, Hispanic churches, multicultural churches, very diverse churches. And I realized that we all hurt. We all have issues. I don't care how wonderful that smile is on your face. We all hurt the same. We all bleed the same. And we all have facades on our face. Because we've all have dealt with that individual that said, I got your back, come hell or high water. I'm with you. If you said God said, I got you. You know, even in the business world. You know, we cut these deals and we say that we're going to do certain things because this is our gifting and we believe God. But when you get stuck by a sharp object, such as this fork in this case, it doesn't feel very good, does it? At all. And then we have here.
Spoon.
Okay. Spoon. Right? How many kids have seen Ratatouille? I said kids, and I don't mean children of God either. Oh, I'm a child of God. You know, my niece comes over and we watch Ratatouille, the British baking show, and all these other baking shows, because if she was here tonight, she'd be standing right here saying, Uncle, but you have to tell them this. And I would say, tell them what? The spoon is used to pick people up. Did you get that? The spoon is used to help people. The spoon is designed that when you are in a heap of trouble, or in my case, I'm trying to get that extra shrimp out the pot, I don't use a fork, I use the, because I can get the juices, and I can also get that shrimp. You know what shrimp are, right? You know what shrimp are? Y'all look at y'all, man. We don't know what no shrimp is up in here. We use the spoon to help people discover their gifting. How? I'm glad you asked. By empowering them to be the person that God has called them to be. By walking with them in good times and bad times. By holding their hands even when they are ready to get on your last nerve. Am I making sense? If I had someone to walk with me 20 years ago, the correct way, I'm sure some things in my life right now would be different. But can I tell you something? I love my life. I love my life. Because not every day was a day of being poked and prodded. And not every day was a day of being stuck in deceivery. There were a lot of days when God used people as a spoon in my life. And because of that, I choose to be a spoon in most people's lives. Because I recognize this, true friendship, true relationships are hard to come by. They're hard to find. And it takes someone who is gifted to say, you know what? I don't care what you've been through. I got you. I don't care what you're going through. I got you. I don't care what it looks like. I got you. Whatever you need, I'm there. I can tell you this much. If Glenn Collins ever tell you that he got you, he got you. It's nothing I won't do for you. It's nowhere I won't go for you within reason. I have a wife. I have a son in college. So, but my point is this. When we sit back and we break bread and we do life together, it's not just in here. This is 1 hour and 15 minutes. 1 hour and 25 tops. Once we leave outside that door, that's when the rubber meets the road. That's when your gifting really comes to play. You need me more out there than you do in here. Am I making sense? I'll tell you this much. We need each other more out there than we do in here. Because the world that in which we live is not always a friendly place. And sometimes we just need to see a friendly face. Someone you can go to and share you and not be concerned about whether it's going to come back to you or not. But you know that what's said in secret remains in secret. And I know that we've not always gotten it right within the church. But if we start, if we become the catalyst to make that change and allow God to use us and whatever our gifting is, I can assure you one thing, that tomorrow, tonight, the days to come will be a much better place. Thank you for your time.